Yeehaw! Howdy, partners, and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. My name is Sir Isaac Newton, and I am an example of what is normally known as a genius. And you know where I come from these days? You know where I get to come from in the future? I get to come from the state of little old Texas. Little old Texas. Oh, yeah, that's where the rambling geniuses of the 21st century are going to be living in. They're going to be living in Texas. They used to be living in old California, eh? They used to be living in old California, eh? California, eh? Used to be the place where the geniuses of the 20th century, that's where they came from. But now, California has taken off the wig of genius and has put on the wig of wokeness. And so, therefore, California has stopped producing geniuses. And anyway, what do we mean by genius? Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I'd like to talk about something very, very interesting that is happening in America. And that is the migration that seems to be happening from places like that, basically left-wing states, New York State, California, Illinois, towards conservative states. That is to say, in particular, Texas. And this is extremely relevant because what is basically, augurs very interestingly for what's going to happen in terms of genius, in terms of the nature of genius. Genius in the 20th century in the world was focused around California. That was where lots and lots of innovations took place. The last geniuses of the 20th century were from California, hence big tech and so on being focused around California. But this is not going to carry on, and one suspects that those geniuses are now going to migrate to places like Texas. And so to the extent that we have geniuses in America in the 21st century, they will be in places like Texas. Now, let me explain how this has happened. Well, first of all, we have to understand what we mean by a genius. The research on genius by people like Hans Eysenck and David Feist and Dean K. Symington and many other people that have looked at genius, and I've, of course, looked at it in detail in my book with Bruce Charlton, The Genius Famine, is quite clear on the nature of the genius. In general, socioeconomic status is a combination of intelligence, defined as the ability to solve problems and how quickly you can solve them, and a certain kind of personality, in particular high conscientiousness, that is to say impulse control, so that you follow the rules and you're hardworking and diligent, relatively high agreeableness, so you're not arrogant and you feel that you can learn from others, that sort of thing, relatively low mental instability, because if you're mentally unstable you're going to be worrying and anxious and you're going to make bad decisions, and so on. And this is what causes socioeconomic status. This is what the standard, the midwit incrementalist scientist is like. He's like that. He's high in social conformity, and getting on with people and so on, and he's reasonably high in intelligence. The genius is not like this at all. The genius combines outlier high intelligence, so very, very, very high intelligence indeed, often such that he is bad at certain things that a person with normal intelligence would be good at, such as not able to drive a car or whatever. He's incompetent, because the more intelligent you get, the narrower your intelligence gets. And so that means that the things that are only weakly associated with intelligence, like social skill or whatever, you might be bad at. So outlier, extreme high intelligence with moderately antisocial traits. That is to say, the person is moderately low in conscientiousness and moderately low in agreeableness, and sometimes moderately high, in particular with artistic geniuses, in mental instability. Now, what does this mean? Well, it means, first of all, if you are high in intelligence, then you are intelligent enough to be able to conceive of a new and brilliant idea and to be able to solve your problem. So that's very important. However, if you are low in conscientiousness, that means that you can think outside the box, you're not rule-bound, you're not rigid in your thinking, and therefore you can make connections which ordinary people who would be bound by rules and formality and sort of impulse control wouldn't be able to do. You dare to go there, you think outside the box, and you create original connections as a consequence. Secondly, original ideas always offend against vested interests and upset people, because people like an ordered universe and they like to a sense of structure and order, and they like to know what's going on. And you challenge this. So a genius with his new brilliant breakthrough will always upset people. And upset against vested interests. But if he's low in agreeableness, this means that either he doesn't realise that he will offend people because he's basically high in autism traits. And it's been shown that what autism is that you're very, very, very high in systematising, but this sits on a spectrum at the other end of which is empathy. So if you're very, very high in systematising, you're very, very low in empathy. So you're very good at systematising, but you're not interested in people's feelings and you don't understand them and you can't anticipate them. It's not part of your universe. So either he doesn't realise he's going to offend people, like James Watson or whatever, about race. He doesn't realise... Or, he low in agreeableness, he just doesn't care. He doesn't care about people's feelings. It's not important to him. What's important to him is solving his problems and truth and logic and reason. That's what matters. And this means that he will go public with his breakthrough in the way that a more agreeable person who was intelligent wouldn't do. So this is the nature of the genius. Very high intelligence, but basically aspects of psychopathic personality, aspects of the criminal, aspects of a not particularly nice person. To some extent, he might also be high in mental instability. Again, in general, mental stability, that is to say not feeling negative feelings strongly, other than perhaps social anxiety, predicts doing well. But a person who is mentally unstable, they will have lots and lots and lots of thoughts because they'll be constantly thinking all the time. This would include worry and anxiety, but it will also include other thoughts about the nature of the world or whatever, so they better solve their problems. And there may be an element to which the genius is also high in aspects of extroversion. Extroversion is about feeling positive feelings strongly. So this could act as a motivator because you feel terribly, terribly positive and happy and great pleasure when you make your breakthrough. And also, extroversion is about risk-taking. Because of the pleasure you feel, the payoff you get from the positive feeling, you take risks in order to achieve it, which is why extroversion is associated with early death. And so geniuses may have elements of extroversion. In our book, The Genius Famine, we also look at how geniuses have almost a religious dimension to them. It can be argued that they are group selected. They are good for the group, okay, although they're antisocial people, but the group that has an optimum small number of them will triumph over other groups because that group will come up with better inventions, better weapons or whatever, and will therefore beat the other group in warfare and dominate them. So they're group selected, rather like priests. And so there may be a religious element almost to geniuses. Geniuses may almost have a sense of destiny. Almost like a prophet, a sense of destiny, a sense of eternity. And certainly Isaac Newton had this. He was this highly religiously inspired person who felt it was God's will that he should do what he did. So these are all of the different elements then to the genius. Now, how does this work in terms of why California should have produced so many genius types and done so many amazing things? Well, let us look at the nature of migration. Who migrates? What predicts migration? The first thing that predicts migration, obviously, people who are American are all immigrants, firstly, and then within America, those who made their way to California are immigrants among even the immigrants. So they're like super immigrants. So what is the nature of an immigrant? First of all, immigration has been found to be associated with intelligence. This is because a person who is intelligent will be better able to plan, better able to get the money together to emigrate, because intelligence is associated with emigration, better able to look towards the future and think of the future rather than think of the present and make sacrifices in the present for the future. So intelligence is associated with migration. The second thing that is associated with migration is extroversion. So if you're an extrovert, you're more likely to migrate because, of course, extroversion is about taking risks. So a person that is an introvert, that is low in extroversion, that is low in these positive feelings, they will be unlikely to migrate. And this is why this is very, very noticeable that countries that are composed of immigrants from a particular country tend to be more extrovert than the country from which they've come. So Americans are stereotypically more extrovert than people from England. Australians are more extrovert. Australians are from people from England. New Zealanders perhaps are more extrovert than people from England because extroversion predicts migration because migration involves taking risks. And so extroverts are more inclined to do this. So a third thing then is an element of what we call our strategy. As we've looked at before on this program, our strategy, this is that we all are on a spectrum between R and K. R strategy are involved to an unstable, yet easy environment. Therefore, you live fast, die young. Because you could be wiped out at any moment, you take risks and you don't create particularly strong social bonds. As the ecology becomes more stable, yet harsh, it becomes more competitive. So you have to take energy away from just investing in sex, living fast, dying young, having as much sex as you can, hoping some children survive, and investing energy in the offspring so that they are adapted to the environment. Otherwise, they could all just die of cold or whatever. And therefore, you take energy away from sex, you put it into nurture. Being good at nurture will select in favour of impulse control, of agreeableness, altruism, whatever, of strong social bonding. And so therefore, people that are K-selected are more like that, taking fewer risks because it's so dangerous and whatever. So people that are K-selected are more like that. And so that's what is left behind. You would expect more R-strategy people to be more inclined to migrate. So you might expect, to some extent, people that would migrate would be lower in conscientiousness, would be lower in aspects, anyway, of conscientiousness, lower in aspects of agreeableness, and perhaps even higher in aspects of neuroticism. To the extent that this is associated with an R strategy, because of course if you're more mentally stable, you'll be better able to bring up children and that sort of thing. So mental instability will be selected out. Conversely, another aspect to migration does seem to be religiousness. People that are religious are more likely to migrate. Now, the reason for this, ironically, because religious people are also higher in conscientiousness and higher in agreeableness and lower in mental instability, would seem to be that people that are religious have a sense of destiny, have a sense of eternity, have a sense of God wanting them to do something. And so they trust that everything will be okay, that God will look after them. And so therefore, they're more likely to take risks because God will ensure that God will part the sea for them and make sure that everything goes okay. And therefore, religious people tend to be more likely to migrate to other places as well, particularly extremely religious people. And that's what you see with America. It was extremely religious people that, from England that founded parts of America. And being extremely religious, that's associated with aspects of mental instability and sort of things like being mentally unstable, and therefore you have you're so stressed that you have religious experiences, and these make you less stressed. And you're very, very fervently religious because of your mental instability, and this means you need a structured, ordered universe, and the religiousness gives you that, and therefore it makes you less mentally unstable. And so that is an element, therefore, of migration as well. So these are the nature of the people that migrate. Now, once these people got to, let's say, America, they would have been under a certain degree of selection pressure. It's not like Darwinian selection pressure. Darwinian selection pressure didn't stop until sort of the mid-1800s, or didn't reduce heavily, until the mid-1800s. So once people got to America, they were under a high degree of selection pressure as well. Now, this would have selected in favour of being a sort of K-strategist, of being group-oriented and whatever, but also they would have been living in small communities. They wouldn't have been living in large communities, which would have militated perhaps in favour of sort of introversion and conformity and whatever to a greater extent. They would have been living in small communities, so this wouldn't have selected to the same extent for rigidity and conscientiousness and impulse control and whatever. And it's been suggested that this is why people in South Asia are actually higher in some aspects of conscientiousness and agreeableness than people in Europe, because they are adapted to living in these very, very dense environments. In America, you're not living in a dense environment. You're living for a lot of the time in a very undense environment, and therefore that would allow people to be lower in conscientiousness and lower perhaps in aspects of agreeableness. So you're getting this very specific niche to which the Americans are selected. And then from that, they make their way to California. So what we are seeing, what we would expect to happen, is that the people that would end up in California would be extremely high in intelligence, right? Because that predicts migration. They would be high in extroversion. They would be high in, they would be relatively perhaps low in aspects of conscientiousness and agreeableness due to the selection to these environments that aren't particularly densely populated. And they would be extremely religious, a component of which, is being mentally unstable. So the outliers of those that are extremely religious are people that are mentally unstable and whatever. And therefore they have religious experiences and they need to be deeply religious to make sense of their world. So what that would produce, to a greater extent than could be the case amongst those that didn't migrate, and to a greater extent that could be the case among those that were left in Britain, would be geniuses. Because what the genius is formed by is a possible but unlikely set of genetic combinations. Geniuses' parents are not geniuses. They are simply normal range, highly intelligent people. But by an unlikely set of genetic, possible set of genetic combinations, normally high intelligence goes together with being high in agreeableness, high in conscientiousness, low in mental instability, low in extroversion, i.e. a K strategy, of which intelligence is a part, because the more intelligent you are, the more likely you are to successfully nurture your children and make sure they survive and survive the competitive environment of a K strategy. But due to these unlikely combinations of traits, you get a genius. Now, these unlikely combinations are more likely, therefore, to manifest among the immigrant population than among those whom they have left. And what you have among Californians is an immigrant population, a population that moved from the east of America over to the west in the 19th century, and therefore genius is much more likely to manifest among people like that. And that is what we saw, that the geniuses of the 20th century, the last geniuses of the 20th century, were from California. And therefore, California was able to establish itself as one of the most successful states in America, because California was where the best, the brightest, the most creative, the most intelligent Americans went. And so you end up with this very high intelligence state, allowed to be such by virtue of the high number of geniuses. The problem, however, comes with it when selection pressures break down, and for various reasons I've looked at in other videos, because it gets warmer, because of the Industrial Revolution, selection pressures break down, child mortality collapses down to 1%, you have a rise in all of this, we were selected to be highly group-oriented and highly intelligent, you end up with deviations from that, you end up with these mutations which will make you more and more individualist and in favour of individualism and things like, rather than group-oriented values of bravery and courage and whatever. We know that research indicates that from analysing texts, that since that time, the use of these words to do with group values of group orientation and group loyalty and whatever, words like self-sacrifice and bravery and courage have all gone down in favour of individualistic words. These people have risen in the population to a tipping point, such that in the Western countries we've tipped from being a conservative, religious, group-oriented society where it is good to be courageous in favour of the group, to make sacrifices for the group, to be group-oriented. We have shifted towards a society in favour of individualistic values related to equality and related to harm avoidance and related to being an individual. We've shifted over, and what that has resulted in is that the values of society are now individualistic. And what this, when this happens, more intelligent people are able to notice that these are the dominant set of values in the society. They are able to absorb those values. They are able to find ways of convincing themselves of the veracity of those values. They are able to use effortful control to force themselves to believe those values, and therefore high status becomes associated with holding those individualistic values. And when that happens, it creates a snowball effect whereby intelligent people will more and more and more migrate over to holding those individualistic values, and then they will engage in a sort of an arms race to signal their conformity to those values, and eventually you just get runaway individualism. And basically being in, as you more and more and more signal, you know, first of all you start off saying I'm against racism, and once everyone's against racism, then you have to signal something else and something else and something else and something else, and because we are evolved to be easily brainwashable, we are evolved to conform to the group, we are evolved to want status, but suddenly we are in an environment which is pushing us to do maladaptive things against the interests of our ethnic group or whatever, and so you end up with this runaway individualism, and that's what's happened. And so this state full of highly intelligent people ironically becomes extremely left-wing. Now the result of that is it suppresses genius. How does it suppress genius? Well, first of all, the genius, remember, the genius is focused on truth. He doesn't care about anything else. The genius is focused on truth. Now, if you are highly group-oriented, then what's important to you is sanctity, obedience to authority, and in-group loyalty. Those things are more important than truth. And so a highly religious society suppresses the genius. He says there's certain things that you can't discuss, certain things you can't examine, certain things you can't explore, certain boundaries beyond which you must not go. And that was the case in the 19th century. What we have with individualism, an individualistic-based society, is a new kind of religion based around equality and based around harm avoidance. Again, there's certain areas you can't look at, certain truths that, oh, we don't go there, that they're not true, they can't be true, because these individualistic values are more important. So it suppresses genius once it becomes too left-wing or too right-wing. It drives the genius out. It removes the genius. It stops the genius from innovating his brilliant ideas. That's the first thing a very left-wing state like California does. The second thing, of course, it's done in aid of equality or whatever, is adopted laws which are very, very, very bad for business. And this is very, very clear. California has the highest income tax of any state in America, 13.3% tax on high income. California has enormous property tax and red tape, such that 40% of what you spend on a house is to do with sodding about with red tape. California has the most appalling corona lockdown laws, which are, of course, anti-money. California has a cap on executive pay, such that executive pay can't get too high. California is prepared to take in lots and lots of immigrants and whatever, which will cause all kinds of problems for the society and so on from different. California is basically the 49th highest. It's the 49th highest business tax rate in America, and New York is 48th. So what you would expect is that people that want to make money. Or people people have brilliant ideas, they want to make money out of them, those people should start fleeing California, getting out of California. So what you would expect is there would be migration out of California, because you can't make money in California. It's got high taxes, the cost of living is very high, the cost of housing is very high, it's a bad place to live. And this is what is happening. In 2019 alone, 653,000 people left California. And in most instances, they made their way to Texas. The Tesla car plant has now been set up, moved from California to Austin, Texas. Elon Musk has set up a drilling, a new company in Austin, Texas. California, someone called Gonzalez, some politician or something, said, well, fuck Elon Musk. Well, indeed, fuck him. But what will be the result of fucking him? It will be that he takes his business elsewhere. Hewlett-Packard is setting up in Houston, Texas. Oracle in Texas. In Texas, there is 0% tax on very high income. In Texas, property is much cheaper. Joe Rogan has moved to Lake Austin. Corona, there wasn't a huge lockdown over Corona in Texas. Homes are cheaper in Texas. There is no cap on executive pay in Texas. You can make more money in Texas. And so obviously what has happened in this highly intelligent left-wing state, as it has continued with its runaway individualism, is it's got to a point where it's pushing out people. People can't make money there, they leave. Now, who is going to leave? It's going to be intelligent people. It's going to be people who are selected and therefore are mentally unstable or have these traits, you know, low conscientiousness, low agreeableness. They make weak social bonds with their families, people like that. They are going to leave. To some extent, it may be religious people that leave, not least because it's an increasingly left-wing, anti-religious state. Now, all of these aspects of all of these traits are associated with genius. Not the traits themselves, but it would be people like that, highly intelligent people with aspects of our strategy and perhaps aspects of religiousness, who by unlikely genetic chance would produce geniuses. And therefore, the geniuses of the 21st century in America, to the extent that there are any, are going to be produced not in California, as they were in the 20th century, but in Texas. And Texas becomes the future, the engine of America as the intelligent people, intelligent, basically the main point is the intelligent people, but to a lesser extent, extroverts and people like that, get the hell out of California and make their way to Texas. And that is what is happening. And what you will get in California is that it will move from being this wealthy state where everyone wants to live and everyone wants to migrate to California to the Detroitification of California, where you will have all of this stuff built up in California based around the assumption of the presence of wealthy people, of educated people, of elite people, the arts and all of this stuff. And it will all die. It will all fall apart like Detroit. And you will be end up with this socialist shell, which is completely dominated by immigrants, people that are from Hispanics and low IQ whites that don't have the get all and the go with all to leave. And it will just fall into disrepair. And the future of America will be in places like Texas. Now, of course, that could mean that Texas flips over to being left wing. And therefore itself gradually falls apart as it becomes socialist and people migrate to somewhere else. Or alternatively, what could be happening, and I suspect it is happening, is that the key thing that predicts breeding among intelligent people seems to be being right-wing and being conservative, and these things are highly heritable, and so it may be that that doesn't happen. But the key point is that they have these stereotypes in America that California, oh, that's full of intelligent, sophisticated people. You know, it's almost like Europe. And Texas is full of these hicks. That's going to change because there is a rush of intelligence, of quality, and thus indirectly of genius to Texas. And so Texas will be the genius of the future. And it might want to wonder if it wants to stay shackled to a place that's increasingly left-wing and stupid. Maybe it doesn't. Well, I hope that's a bit of interest, and if it has, then please feel free to subscribe. Remember, I live stream on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. You can also find this stuff on BitChute and on Odyssey, where I put other live streams that I, if you want to help the channel, you can see ways to do so below. And I will see you soon. Goodbye!